Here at The Takeaway, we're keeping the convention. An unaffiliated third party, fourth party, fifth party, all parties convention is now in session. We're just losing the two-party system right now. We're offering a platform for presidential candidates running outside our two-party system. Are they viable? Cinda in San Antonio, Texas, wrote this on our Facebook page. The third-party idea is a good one. Idea, the key word there. But they aren't organized well enough, says Cinda. Currently, they only disrupt the electoral process and take votes away. Your views at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to facebook.com/thetakeaway. From socialist Eugene V. Debs in the early 1900s to the Green Party's Ralph Nader in the 1990s and 2000s, we've already heard from the Green Party 2012 candidate this hour. The American political system has launched its share of iconoclasts, if you can call iconoclasm stepping outside of the status quo of the Republicans and Democrats. Third-party candidates in the United States are rarely successful, but they can have quite an impact on their mainstream counterparts. And in many ways, third-party movements that were not successful have formed the seeds of many political ideological movements that are still alive and well in the Republicans and the Democrats. That's the case with Strom Thurmond, the legendary politician from South Carolina who made a run for president in 1948. Like most Southerners, Strom was a lifelong Democrat until President Truman started voicing support for civil rights in 1948. Thurmond broke from the Democrats to run on the states' rights ticket, otherwise known as the Dixiecrats.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's not enough troops in the army to force the Southern people to break down segregation and admit the nigger into our theaters, into our swimming pools, into our homes, and into our churches.
That's Strom Thurmond accepting the Dixiecrat nomination in August of 1948. And listening to that rhetoric, those words, he just missed the boat, right? He was a racist who didn't understand where America was headed. Well, in fact, Strom Thurmond may have been, politically speaking, ahead of his time. A new biography of Strom Thurmond examines the senator's influence on the modern Republican Party and explores how third-party candidates who may seem extreme often have serious influence on the two-party system. Strom Thurmond included. Joseph Crespino is the author of Strom Thurmond's America and a professor of history at Emory University. He joins us from the studios of Public Broadcasting, Atlanta. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be with you.
So I really find this to be an extraordinary premise in the sense that Strom Thurmond was profoundly influential even on themes that we're still dealing with today. And in political terms, maybe not racial terms, he was ahead of his time. Explain.
Well, in 1948, the thing that was driving the Dixiecrat revolt, no doubt, was white Southern reaction to President Truman's civil rights policies, and that was what led to the third party revolt there, in a movement that began in February of 1948, and then eventually led to the states' rights Democratic Party forming in July of 1948. But the thing that was, there was a lot of support within the South for the Dixiecrats that was driven by business concerns, conservative business interests that had been in revolt to the liberal wing of the Democratic Party since the 1930s. And so there were important kind of financial backers to the Dixiecrats that were important. And so what Thurmond ends up doing in 1948 is trying to blend this kind of virulent white supremacist reaction to Truman's civil rights policies, but he's getting funding and support from the most conservative business interest in the region at the time. And he's the first to try to make that bridge between racist reaction and business conservatism in the South.
So he tears away the anti-civil rights agenda of the Southern wing of the Democratic Party, but then he also manages to reignite it with a kind of pro-business and very much pro-national security agenda, which very much gets echoed in certain ways in the Reagan Republican Party?
Sure, and it's not immediately. I mean, it's still a politics. That's in formation in 1948, and Thurmond is unsuccessful in making that in kind of wedding those issues together in 1948. But I argue in my book that it's an important kind of early moment when you see someone trying to link up a kind of growing reaction against statism. Thurmond uses that term in 1948, a growing power of the federal government. That all of these things are issues that he's talking about about on the campaign trail, as he's also talking about his opposition to things like the FEPC, the Fair Employment Practices Commission, which he thought was interfering with private businesses and meddling in private affairs, things like that.
Do you see the third party phenomena in America reflecting once again this ancient split that took place in the Democratic Party in 1948 and really wasn't completed until Nixon's victory in 1968?
Well, I mean, I think that the current third-party movements are always trying to take issues that are outside of the mainstream and make them mainstream. So, for Thurman, he was about bringing into, and Thurman doesn't leave the Dixiecrat Party. I mean, it doesn't leave the Democratic Party in 1948. He goes back and joins the Democratic Party when he's elected to the Senate in 1954. It's not until 64 and in Goldwater's presidential campaign that he joins the Republican Party. But Thurman is bringing into the Republican Party that racist reaction that was so visceral across the southern states during this time.
That's fascinating. We're talking with Joseph Crespino, author of Strom Thurmond's America. It's a fascinating book. It's a fascinating look at the origins of third party politics in our time. Joseph Crespino is a professor of history at Emory University.